Well, it is great to finally be back with you. You know, I feel like I've been living out of a suitcase for the last number of weeks, and Jan and Sophia and I recently, we just went to go see Moses at the Sight and Sound Theater in Lancaster. I almost said Rochester. It's not down the road. It is a little bit further than right down the road. It is a great show. If you haven't had the opportunity to see Moses, you know, I would recommend it. It's really wonderful. Daniel is the next one that's coming up, and I can't wait to see how they're going to work out the whole Lion's Den part. That's going to be pretty fabulous, I'm sure. And then I had to travel for a leadership retreat with the Global Methodist Church. And although the retreat didn't have the production value that Sight and Sound did, it was a great time of meeting together and talking about the needs of our new denomination. But I am glad to be able to unpack my suitcase and put it in the closet. And hopefully not to get that thing out again for a good while. And I was thinking, you know, wouldn't it be great if it was that easy for us? You know, the baggage we carry, if it was as simple as, you know, taking the stuff out of it and putting it in the closet to never be seen again or not to be seen for a very long time. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, Peter says this to the suffering saints of the early church. He says, throw all of your anxiety on him, onto Jesus, because he cares for you. Peter wanted them to know that regardless of what they were going through, all of your worries, all of your cares, all of your anxieties can be thrown on the Lord because he cares for you. You know, this week the baggage that we're going to be talking about that we'd like to get rid of is fear, the baggage of fear. You know, Franklin Roosevelt, one of our former presidents, once famously proclaimed, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Now, far be it from me to disagree with a former president, but I can think of plenty of things to fear. Spiders, heights, which is funny because Dave mentioned those exact two things. Not being able to find a bathroom when you really need one. The list of fears goes on and on and on. I mean, fear, if we're going to be serious about it, and we should, fear can be crippling. Chapman University, a college in California, they've been tracking the top 10 fears of Americans for the last 9 years. Some of the things that they have listed, oddly, number one, corrupt government officials. Who would have thought? 62% of people say they fear corrupt government officials. And it's not higher because the other 38 are worried that they're going to find out and come after them. A couple other things from that list, you know, people I love becoming seriously ill. 60.2% said that. Not having enough money for the future, 53.7%. You know, chronic fear, it can have a real strong effect on our physical health. You know, chronic fear, it can weaken our immune system. It can damage our memory. It can damage our memory. Sorry, bad joke. I won't do that. Second service. So you guys are kind of like the test case. I test my jokes out on you, and if they work, good. And if they don't work, I'll probably say them again because I'm a terrible joke teller. But long-term fear has this effect where it can damage our brain processing and our reactivity. It can lead to mental health issues such as fatigue and clinical depression and post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, is anybody excited about this prospect of being able to unload fear? Are you ready to throw that baggage in the closet and to leave it there? You know, our scripture this week is this, and Dave has already kind of prefaced it, but let me read it again for us. and then we'll talk about how God can help us to put this fear behind us. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if you don't know or may have forgotten, the context of Philippians is Paul is writing this to us from a prison cell. He is surrounded by walls that he cannot escape. He is shackled and not able to free himself. Now, church, this is exactly how fear works. Fear works like a prison cell. Fear robs us of our freedom. And everywhere we look, when we are encased by fear, everywhere we look, we just see more fear. I found a great definition of fear this week, and it defined fear as forever expecting awful results. Forever expecting awful results. And I think the key word in this is expecting. Because fear doesn't have to be tangible to be fear, to be real. Now let me try to explain that a little bit more. You know, earlier I joked about being afraid of spiders. Like, I wouldn't say I'm afraid of spiders. I simply don't like spiders. If I see a spider, I'm going to kill it. Right? That's what I do. I'll step on it. I'll get a book and I'll smack it. Something. I will get rid of the spider, and just get rid of it. I had a friend in college, however, who was deathly afraid of spiders. In fact, you could show her a picture, a two-dimensional representation of a spider, and she would run out of the room. She was deathly afraid of a picture of a spider. Right? That is not a rational fear. It was the expectation of a spider that sent her running. And I think if we dig deeper, and we allow it to come a little bit closer to us, we understand that this is what it is. You know, something happening to someone we love, it's the expectation that causes the fear. I remember, because it was just this summer, the very first time Jan and I watched Sophia leave the driveway in a car without one of us in it with her. And the expectations, what's going to happen to her? Is she going to remember to stop at the stop sign? Is she going to remember to use her turn signals? All of the expectations, and you can feel it in your chest. Not because anything at all has happened, it's the expectation of what might happen that can cause you heartburn, give you gray hairs. I tell Sophia all the time, this is you. Like, what's happening up here? This is you. You know, and as a result, I could find myself paralyzed, expecting awful results every time Sophia leaves the house, and all I'm doing is just encasing myself in a stronger and stronger prison. I could tell her, Sophia, you're never allowed to leave the house. That'd be a fun conversation. I could take car keys, lock the doors, all of because of expectations. And I would miss out on seeing her grow up and become this wonderful person that she is becoming. I could keep her from experiences out of my fear that will limit her, or limit the type of person God is creating in her. Forever expecting awful results. That is an incredible, incredibly heavy bag to carry. Which is why Paul, who is literally in a prison, could find so much freedom and joy as he writes. You know, scholars and theologians alike will often remark that the book of Philippians is the book of the Bible that has the most joy in it. Paul is in prison. And it's not a nice prison from 2023. This is a first century prison. And Paul shares with us this secret, the way so that we can get out from underneath, so that we can escape the prison walls that surround us. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And can you see it? Are you hearing what Paul is asking us to do? Paul says, do to fear what fear does to you. Surround it the same way that fear surrounds you. Now, our scripture is in a section of Philippians that could be considered the closing remarks. And it's like Paul is saying at this point, okay, let me quickly sum up all of what we have been talking about. And so he says, the first step in releasing the baggage of fear, rejoice in the Lord always. And if you weren't paying attention, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. This is the first step in releasing the baggage we call fear, is that we surround it with worship. You know, just like as we talked a couple weeks ago, it is impossible to hold on to bitterness when you are asking God to bless the person you are angry about, that you're resentful to. It is impossible to fear when you are in worship. It's impossible to fear when you are surrounding yourselves with praises and thanksgivings and song and focus on God. And Paul says to us in 2 Timothy 1:7, the Spirit of God does not make us timid or fearful, but gives us power and love and self-discipline. Church, do you realize that when we worship, we are closest to our original purpose? When we are singing praises to God, when we are gathered in worship, we are the closest to our original design. We were created to be in God's presence, to commune with God, to worship God. It was when sin enters into the world that that relationship and that closeness was broken. I mean, we are created to worship. I mean, any given Sunday in the fall, you're going to see a lot of worship happening. It's going to be happening at football stadiums all over our country. We will surround ourselves. We will yell at the television screen. We will try to tell the coach, this is what you should do. As if he can really hear us. And we will give ourselves fully to football. And I'm not saying watching football is wrong. I enjoy the Steelers. I'm a Steelers fan. But if we're not careful, we will find ourselves worshiping them instead of worshiping God. And church, the Steelers will not keep you from fear. We were created to worship. And so when we are tempted to fear, let us surround ourselves in worship. And then the second step in releasing fear is to simply acknowledge it and to give it to God. It says right there in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. God is asking us, God is begging us to release this burden, this baggage of fear. He says, give it to me. Give it to me. Let me be the one that carries it for you. It was a study that I was a part of years ago. Really wasn't a part of a study. I was, I think it was actually here at Concord. They were doing a Beth Moore Bible study, and Jan was a part of it. And oftentimes I would get the workbook and go along with it, and Jan and I would talk about different things when she was home. And there was one particular study that Beth did on the book of Esther. It wasn't a profound study. It wasn't one of her better ones. And most of it I have really just forgotten. But there is a phrase in that study that has stuck with me for years, and I don't think I'll ever forget it. In that study, she was talking about fear, and she was really grappling with the fear of losing her husband, the fear of losing her children, and she found herself becoming paralyzed by it. And then she says she had a revelation, and she realized that if blank happens, then God. You put whatever you want to in that blank space. If blank happens, then God. If something happened to her marriage, then God. If something happened to her kids, then God. Whatever happens, whatever we put in that blank space, then God. And not that it makes any one of those circumstances less awful, but she realized that whatever might happen, God will be. That God will be. And it's an invitation for us to trust God with what we hold most dear. Can we trust God? Can we trust that if tomorrow all of these bad things happen, that God would still be? Because it's the presence of God. It's the acknowledgement of who God is. It's the surrendering of all of that to Him that helps us release the fear that we carry. Right, so the first step in getting rid of the fear is to surround it with worship. And the second fear, or the second step in releasing that fear is to give it to God. Acknowledge it, name it. It's not a secret to God. He already knows it, so simply say it and give it to Him. And then the third step in overcoming fear is to revel in God. The crazy thing about fear is that more than likely it is not happening right now. Again, it is the expectation of something happening that we fear. And so how can we revel instead of worry? So immediately after this passage, and it really should have been included in the text, but Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it falls right after 7, which is a really simple statement right there, right? Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or worthy of praise, think about such things. think about these things. I mean, revel, in my mind, sounds an awful lot like worship. And I don't think Paul wrote this passage by accident. He is saying, surround your fear with worship. Surround fear the same way that fear surrounds you. Surround it in such a way so that everywhere you look, all you can see is God. Whether you are in worship or whether you are reveling in God, surround yourself so that the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, the way we revel in God is to allow God's promises to us to capture our imagination. You know, rather than anticipating or expecting the worst, what happens if we centered our lives, if we centered our thoughts on what is noble and right and pure and lovely and praiseworthy? I don't think there would be any room in us, whether our hearts or our mind, I don't think there will be any room available for fear. We're going to crowd out all those expectations of doom and replace them with the presence of God. And so if we want to get beyond fear, if we want to put that baggage in the closet and forget all about it, worship, release, and revel. Surround fear with these. Put fear into prison and allow God to set you free. Are you ready to put it in the closet? Are you willing to let go of that fear? Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. It's a promise of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are thankful that you invite us. You invite us to set the heaviest of baggage down, to put our fear behind us. Lord, help us to do just that. Help us when we are surrounded by fear to instead surround it with worship and release and revel. Set us free, God. Not just so that we can be free, but so that we can tell the world. Just as one beggar shows another beggar where to find bread, this is how you can be set free from fear. Lord, continue to inspire us, continue to lead us and guide us. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. You know, church, I acknowledge it is far easier to preach that than it is to live that, because we are surrounded by fear. And for some of us in this room, we have experienced what we were afraid of. There are members of our church who have lost loved ones, lost spouses, lost children, experienced prolonged illness. And it doesn't mean you lack faith. We live in a fallen world, and one day, Jesus is going to come and set everything right. I love that the final promise in the book of Revelation is that death is defeated. It's not the devil. It's not Satan. The last enemy and revelation to be defeated is death. But I would say to any of us, and I would say it to myself, that even when the worst thing happens, I think we deal with it the same way. We surround it with worship. We surround it with the presence of God. Because that is the only hope we have. And I am thankful that we have a God we can place that type of hope in. Lord God, we pray that as we leave this space, we would heed your invitation to leave fear at your altar. That we would release ourselves from carrying this heavy baggage. That we would be free to live as the type of people you want us to be. Jesus, thank you for loving us, and we love you back, and it is in your name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you, church. Have a wonderful week. Don't forget, summer's last blast this coming weekend.